WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Crash is a movie that isn't for everyone, and even if you want to see it, it might never open in a theater near you because of its NC-17 rating. Whether or not you like the film or approve of its subject matter, it's a film that comes out of interesting and provocative ideas about sex, love, violence, and death. Last week, we talked to the director, David Cronenberg. Then we decided to call J.G. Ballard, the author of the 1973 novel on which the film is based. His novel is about a subculture that is obsessed with cars and death and finds cars and crashes sexually arousing. Ballard is also the author of the novel Empire of the Sun, based on his experiences as a boy during World War II when he was interned by the Japanese in a prisoner of war camp near Shanghai. We called Ballard at his home in England. When the novel Crash opens, the main character is in a crash, and that awakens something inside him. What does it awaken?
He gradually realizes that he's found himself in the center of a kind of gathering psychological hurricane. The first sort of eddies of this strange new world are swirling around him. And he knows that something has happened. He knows that it's part of the air that he breathes in this sort of violence and sensation-hungry landscape that he lives as somebody living in the case of the book, in the early 1970s, but still true today, of course. And he realizes that something odd is going on, and then he meets the widow of the man he killed in the car crash, and they realize that, you know, they're separated by this desperate death. You know, he's killed her husband. How can they bridge that gap of human pain and outrage? And suddenly it happens, and they do it through sex. This brings them together, but it's a very strange kind of sex, as both of them realize. The other, I mean, the widow of the man the narrator has killed is a doctor. But it's this that starts off this whole process. Then they see that they're being followed by this strange figure who seems to be some sort of hospital technician, but who's a kind of deranged computer scientist obsessed with traffic systems. And they're drawn into his strange magnetic world.
Do you remember how the idea for Crash first came to you?
I think I noticed in the late 60s that, you know, the entertainment landscape that we inhabited, television, Hollywood films, European films, and so on, was getting more and more dominated by explicit sex and violence, both simulated, of course. I mean, films in those days were full of car chases and car crashes. Buicks were cartwheeling in slow motion down streets. It seemed to be in every film you went to see. And television was just as violent with all the Vietnam footage and so on. And I thought, well, there's something odd going on. And also, there's some famous people who died in car crashes had achieved a kind of, they become modern totems almost. I think even Kennedy's death had a special resonance because he'd been assassinated while sitting in the back of a large limousine in a motorcade. I think had he been shot, you know, walking down the steps of his aircraft an hour or so earlier, his death, tragic though it would have been, would have lacked something of that strange resonance that the deaths of people like James Dean and Jane Mansfield had. And I thought, why? What is it about the car? Is it that when we drive a car, we literally have our own deaths at our fingertips? Is it that, you know, the experience of driving a car taps all sorts of elements of sexuality and aggression? As any woman driver knows, there are many men, especially young men, who can't bear to be overtaken by a woman driver. Now, what is going on? Crash tries to answer that question.
Do you think that You also had almost unconscious motivations in exploring sex and death and violence and sex and sexual fetishism.
I don't think I was driven by any unconscious motives, no, because I never returned to the subject matter. And I think if I were in the grip of some kind of, you know, deep private obsession, I would have gone on writing about the subject. I mean, one's got to remember that the connections between love, eroticism, and death have been explored by novelists and poets for at least the last 200 years. They've been explored by the surrealists in the 20th century and many, many filmmakers. You've only got to think of, I mean, you can go back as far as Marlene Dietrich in Blue Angel or to, say, Last Tango in Paris and Blue Velvet. Love, eroticism, and death. That's, you know, an internal triangle. And Crash explores that triangle in the same way, but it does so in terms of, you know, the contemporary world where a car plays such an enormous part in our lives.
Were you ever disturbed that this disturbing story was coming from your own mind?
Yes, I was. I mean, as I was writing Crash in 1970, 71, 72, I was a widower bringing up three very young children. And it struck me as very strange that in the midst of what was a very happy home, as I think everybody who visited us, you know, soon saw, you know, with a guinea pig and a golden retriever and a tabby cat and three happy children, I was sitting down at the typewriter every day and writing this strange novel. I mean, it was kind of deliberate psychosis that I immersed myself in each day. And sometimes it was difficult to get out, but I noticed that, you know, as I wrote the book, the average speed at which I drove my motor car must have fallen by about 10 miles an hour. And I'm aware that, you know, something very odd was going on when I was writing the book.
Okay, you mentioned you were driving more slowly as you were writing the book. A couple of weeks after you finished the book, you were in a car crash in which I think your car kind of spinned over, but you emerged unhurt. Did you feel like you were almost being punished for writing this book that people would find perverse?
Well, it was an extreme example of nature imitating art. I mean, had I died in the car crash, and I might have done, because my car rolled over on a, you know, divided carriageway or whatever you call them in America, and could have been hit by an oncoming car. Luckily, it wasn't, even though there was plenty of traffic around. Had I died, people would then have said, oh, you know, he was acting out, you know, this kind of personal prophecy that he laid down in his novel. I think it was just a coincidence because I had a blowout on a front tire and, you know, no unconscious factors could have been at work there, I don't think.
My guest is J.G. Ballard, author of the 1973 novel Crash. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with J.G. Ballard, author of the novel Crash, which is the basis of the new film Crash. Now, you've said that you're interested in the normalizing of the psychopathic. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm interested in it as a phenomenon that you can see going on, I mean, around us. I mean, and it has been going on most of this century, but particularly, I think, since the Second World War, where we, you know, the sort of behavior that people used to regard as, you know, deviant, if not criminal, especially in the sexual area, is now accepted and tolerated in, you know, it lies, you know, all sorts of strange sexual perversions, particularly in areas like sadomasochism and so on, which, you know, 50 years ago in England would have led you straight to the nearest insane asylum. Here are tolerated. You know, we have legal cases frequently where consenting adults who take part in, you know, what I consider quite, you know, extreme kinds of sexual activity, you know, involving hammers and nails and wooden boards, I won't go on, you know, have been had up in court. And there's been a big debate in the press and on television about whether the state has any right to intervene where, you know, consenting adults are involved. And this goes right across the board. We're much more tolerant of of people. I mean, if I say if your neighbor is accused and fined for shoplifting, you probably feel sympathetic to her. You probably think, oh, poor woman, her husband's been having all these affairs. We've got to understand. My parents' generation would have cut her dead and never spoken to her again. So I think we do tolerate more and more, once regarded as perverse activity.
Do you think that this tolerance is a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it has its dangers, and Crash is all about those dangers, because I think we're rather numbed these days. Our feelings are sort of more and more numbed, and I think we're sort of desperately looking for ways to enlarge our experience of the world. We want a world that's sort of more on the emotional and imaginative level. It's more stimulating and more exciting. So we look for new connections. And I think a lot of, the explorations that you find among sexual deviants are carried out, in that spirit. They're exploratory. They're hoping to find new connections. And it's dangerous because technology puts such powerful tools into people's hands. Crash is all about that.
In a way, not to try to psychoanalyze too much here, but in a way, I could say you grew up probably with a lot of psychopathic behavior during World War II when you lived in a prisoner of war camp outside of Shanghai. And this is a story that was dramatized in your book, Empire of the Sun, and in the Steven Spielberg adaptation of your book. Do you feel like that experience of growing up during World War II in a prisoner of war camp increased your kind of heightened perception of psychopathology in the world?
It probably did, because, of course, those were extreme times. It's not so much that I've witnessed a lot of psychopathological behavior, because I think most of the cruelty inflicted during the Second World War, certainly in the Far East where I was in Shanghai, wasn't inflicted by psychopaths, but by this is a frightening thing, but by people who are otherwise more or less normal. You've got to be realistic. I mean, most of the people who carried out the appalling horrors in Bosnia or the massacres in Rwanda over the last year or so have not been psychopaths. They've been ordinary human beings in extreme situations, and that's we're all in that situation, more or less, today. We're all living in a rather extreme world.
You were a medical student for a couple of years. Did you use your medical and anatomical knowledge to write Crash?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I could have written the book had I not studied medicine for a couple of years. I mean, what I learned of anatomy and the human body as I dissected it gave me a whole vocabulary of ideas and images that, in fact, I've used in all my fiction, really, but especially in Crash.
Now, what were the kinds of thoughts you were thinking the first few times you were involved with dissecting cadavers in class? Did you ever feel like you were having thoughts that a medical student was not supposed to be having?
Most medical students are pretty down-to-earth people. In England, they tend to, play rugby on Saturday afternoon and get very drunk on too much beer in the evening. So I think I may have been slightly different, as I couldn't stand rugby, and even at an early age, scotch and soda was more my drink. But I was very moved by the experience of dissecting cadavers, most of whom in those days were the bodies of doctors who'd donated their bodies while they were still alive. And I thought it was, a great tribute to the spirit of these dead physicians that they were prepared to donate their bodies to the next generation of doctors, knowing what would happen to them in the end, that you end up, as a little collection of bones and gristle. It was a very moving experience, particularly when you dissect the human face and you uncover all the facial muscles that give expression to character. I mean, you're getting into enormously close and intimate contact with another human being, and it's a spiritually very moving, time.
Before you started writing Crash, you organized a gallery show in 1969 that was called Crashed Cars, New Sculptures. What was the exhibition?
Well, I I mounted an exhibition of just three crashed cars. This is before I started writing Crash. And in a way, it was an exhibition intended to test my own sort of hunch. I had a feeling that there was something special about the crashed cars. So I arranged for these three cars. One of them was a huge Pontiac of the great tailfin era that had been in a front-end collision. And I had these three cars in the gallery of the New Arts Laboratory under neutral gallery lighting. That was all. And I had an opening party for all the art critics and various other people. And in the sort of late 60s, demi-monde. And then, as part of the experiment, I arranged a closed-circuit television link so that people could see themselves. And that was quite rare in those days. And I hired a young woman who originally agreed to appear naked and interview the guests. And it was when she walked into the gallery before the party, she took one look at the crash cars and she said, "I'll do the interview, but I'll only do it topless." And I thought, well, that's an interesting response. I mean, she, without any prompting, she'd made the connections in some way between the car crash and her own sexuality. It was very odd. And I thought, well, let's see what happens. And, of course, we had the party was absolutely riotous. The cars were attacked. And during the month, the cars were on show. People came in off the street and attacked them and broke all the glass and ripped off the wing mirrors and poured paint on them. Obviously, the cars triggered a lot of unease and hostility. Though, had they, as I said at the time to everyone appalled by what was going on in the gallery, I said, if you put these three cars in the street outside, no one would even notice them. But that was a green light for me, and I went on to write the book.
Why do you think people were attacking the cars? Do you think because the statement it was making about art, or do you think it was the power of the crashed cars?
I don't think it had anything to do with art. I think it was just that what I was doing was fencing off a piece of reality that they'd never normally bothered to look at, and I was asking them to look at it and to make a judgment, to draw conclusions, to, in a way, to hold themselves responsible, as all of us who use the roads, whether as drivers or passengers, you know, are responsible. I think they just couldn't cope with this sort of assault on, you know, there's a conventional view of everyday life. That's what unnerved them.
You know, I think some of the people who've tried to either censor Crash or, you know, prevent its release are worried that drivers will read the book or see the movie and will make this connection between crashes and sex, and that they'll start driving around really quickly, doing arousing things, and end up crashing, either intentionally or unintentionally, and injuring people on the road. I'm wondering if you ever worried about that kind of outcome yourself, if you ever thought that your book might be misinterpreted and kind of create this link between violence and sex that you were kind of psychologically investigating, but that you didn't mean to reinforce.
Well, it did worry me a bit. I didn't think anybody would have been sort of turned on or incited towards violence by my book. But when I knew that David Cronenberg was filming the book, because the suggestive power of the film is so much greater and so much more direct, that did concern me, and I was very relieved when I saw the film and realized that, of course, the film is so cool, so cerebral, mm-hmm. that the sort of, you know, young man or young woman brought up on the Die Hard movies or, you know, Schwarzenegger and so on wouldn't even be able to sort of read Crash, if you know what I mean. I mean, wouldn't be able to read the film. It would seem, A, there wouldn't be enough violence, B, nowhere near enough sex, and the connections between the two would be meaningless. I think, the film is very elegant, very cerebral, beautiful to watch. But it's a film for people who, you know, who think. And it's quite clear that the behavior of the characters is not held up for our admiration. These are desperate people. And their desperation is, you know, is evident in almost every frame of the film. You must remember that Crash, the film and book, Crash is a love story. You see it very clearly in the film. I mean, it's the story of a husband and wife who can no longer express their love for each other and who find a new means of expressing their love, as they show right in the final scene of the film, in terms of the car accident. Now, that's a desperate love. And I'm trying to say, and David, I think, is trying to say in the film, that this sort of desperate love is a dreadful worry for the human beings of the future, because, you know, they may be led down this road. Crash is a warning. I think it's a cautionary tale.
J.G. Ballard is the author of the 1973 novel Crash, which is the basis of the new film Crash. He spoke to us from his home in England.